What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, where I'm pitching podcasts from PitcherList.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today, September 18th, happy birthday to my sister. And yes, we are going to talk about baseball. Brandon Fought. My gosh, a complete game shutout. It was a Maddox. 97 pitches, 9 innings, 0 runs, 1 hit, 1 walk, and 7 strikeouts. What do we do? You know, I could do this a lot with a Plus Pitch Podcast. I could just say, well, you do nothing. Because he gets the Dodgers next. And he, yes, would get the Padres if you were to pitch at the end of the year, the last game of the season. It's possible they do that for Fought to make him feel good entering the offseason. I would say, hey, just give him a rest or so. But I don't think I would even start him for that one. I do like the fact that in this start against the Giants, much easier opponent than the others, that Brandon Fought went four seamers and changeups to lefties, and then against right-handers, focused a lot on the sinker, and then both breaking balls, the sweeper and the curveball. That is fine. I'm not saying that that is incredible. I don't think he hit the edges too much with those, especially the four-seamer changeup against lefties was very much over the plate at times, and the sinker very much to right-handers was the heart of the plate. It's possible this is what he is moving forward. We've seen him go up and down all season. We've seen him go with the cutters and curveballs to lefties and then the four-seamer, then the sinker, and then all these changes have happened. So to see a new approach is exciting, but how sustainable is it? How much of that attack is going to stick around? It's way, way too hazy, and I'm not going for that with Brandon Fought, especially not against the Dodgers, and it's unlikely for me to do this against the Padres unless it was a dire need for that long leash, as he does have the opportunity to go at least at 6 innings there. Tyler Wells for the Orioles against the White Sox, 6 innings, 1 run, 4 hits, 0 walks, and 4 strikeouts. Once again, Tyler Wells has come through for you. Man, it's kind of wild how good of a schedule he's had. We looked at it and said, hey, that's a good schedule. Let's just go after Tyler Wells. And he's just succeeded. He hasn't let us down. The thing is, he only has one start left. That's what you're going to start seeing now is most guys are going to have two, but you might have situations with off days or maybe six-man rotations that we're starting to see just one game. And that is Tyler Wells against the Rays, but it's in Camden, not in Tampa Bay. So yeah, we're cool with this. We go one more start with Tyler Wells. His command is just good enough. Cole Reagans, you might know the guy. I'm actually wearing my AGA Reagans shirt. You can't spell Reagans without AGA, of course. Ace is going to ace, and he looked that way in the beginning of this, but overall, he only went 62 pitches. So it's 3.2 innings, 200 runs, 1 hit, 2 walks, and 4 Ks. Yeah, one extra earned run for this to actually be a beneficial start across the board, even though that's not necessarily saying it was worthwhile, because it's just 3.2 innings. Cole Reagans, in that first inning, though, what does he do? He strikes out Julio Rodriguez on 3 straight fastballs Randy Arozarena on 3 straight fastballs, whiff, 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 okay? Then it's Cal Raleigh. You might have heard of him. 2 straight fastball whiffs, a fouled off fastball, an overthrown fastball in 98, and then a slider under the zone for a check swing strikeout. If you're doing the tallies right now, that's 6 whiffs on 8 pitches for Cole Reagans. And then what does he do? He gets Julio Rodriguez. Fastball whiff, fastball whiff, fastball whiff. That's 9 whiffs on his first 11 pitches of the game. I don't think I've ever seen that before. It was unbelievable. What I'm unfortunately going to tell you is that he was much worse the rest of the game. His changeup never showcased the ability that we've seen in the last year and a half from Reagans. The cutter made an appearance, but it's not really going to be that major thing. The curveball was a very low strike rate. The four-seamer was really well spotted to right-handers across the game, though, and that's the biggest takeaway for me, that he was able to locate four-seamers. They were 97 in that first inning, and it fell down to about 94, 95 after. I like to think that Cole Reagans is going to be able to go 75 pitches next time. He clearly still has it in him. Hopefully, he has the changeup next. It's against the Angels. And then in Sacra Verde, I'm very easily starting Cole Reagans for both. Duh. Get excited about it. But man, that first inning was so cool. Matthew Boyd, I thought I would have more things to say about this, but honestly, I don't. Why? Because he gets the Mets next. And I know that Matthew Boyd has done really well this season. He's carried many a team as a southpaw with a changeup. It's been so good. Yet this was not against the Pirates, even though he allowed a 3-run shot in the first to Joey Bart. You could say he got bamboozled, whatever. He was great otherwise. Well, he wasn't. He only lasted 3 total innings in 83 pitches. It was a 100 run outside of that home run, 7 hits, 2 walks, 5 Ks, right? The changeup command wasn't great. The fastball had to do too much. The entire arsenal wasn't there. And the Mets are really dangerous. Now, I'm not saying that the Dinapso do not start, but it seems like it's a questionable one for sure. And I would explore all my options if I had Matthew Boyd. He only gets that one start left for the Cubs. It's against the Mets, Matthew Boyd. So keep that in mind. Now, Aaron Civale did follow Matthew Boyd. And in the most 2019 pitcher list approved opener and follower of Boyd and Civale, Civale went 3 shutout. I mean, it was against the Pirates. I mean, okay, fine. I don't think that we'll see Civale much if it is in a tandem. I mean, it's the Mets. Like, don't think about it, okay? Ian Seymour was a very surprising one. So was Brad Lord. I'll get Brad Lord out of the way very quickly. Brad Lord had a good game against Atlanta. Not something to lean into. He gets Atlanta again, and we don't want to go with it. Okay, I'd be very, very cautious with that one. Ian Seymour, though, against the Jays, got the win. 7 innings of shutout ball. 4 hits, 1 walk, and 3 strikeouts. 7 whiffs, 25% CSW, 100 pitches. This was in Tampa Bay as well. And it's very surprising. I will mention, Ian Seymour did something really interesting. He had a 4-seamer that returned a 90% strike rate. 28 over 31 thrown were for strikes, which is innately just incredible. Then, on top of that, you have the cutter and the changeup working well. And I do believe that 4-seamer was able to do this. Only allowed 4 balls in play total. Lots of foul balls. Because of that cutter that looked just like it over the plate, same with the changeup. So he really messed with these Jays hitters, not knowing what to expect. It's very precise with that fastball upstairs and in the zone. I liked this. This was deserving of success, even though, yeah, Koufax did get involved. Only 3 strikeouts. He had to get some good fortune. Fine. But he did utilize his pitches really well to keep the Jays on their toes. He gets Camden next. I'm definitely down for a stream of Ian Seymour as a end of probable start tier against the Orioles. However, I don't think that Seymour is going to be at this level again, right? And this was a very good outing, but I should not tell you that, yes, this is who Ian Seymour is now. And in a repeat matchup in Toronto, if Ian Seymour would to get the last start of the year for the Rays on September 28th, that Sunday, game 162, if he's in Toronto again, or at least he faces the Jays again, and this time in Toronto, I'm not interested. I think the Jays are great at home, and I think that Ian Seymour was one of his better selves in this one, and it's not easy to tell you that he's going to do that again. All right, we're going to talk about today's games, tomorrow's games, and Friday's games. I know today's have already started. However, there are still things you can pull away from this and that can also apply to moving forward. And of course, we'll tell you about Friday and we'll give you a hint at Saturday. If you want the full look of all Saturday's rankings, you have to get PL Pro. You can get that with promo code podcast. That's 15% off PL Pro yearly at pitchwiz.com/premium. So use promo code podcast to get 15% off PL Pro yearly at pitchwiz.com/premium, and you'll get Saturday's rankings ahead of everybody else. But all right, we're going to talk about all of those streaming picks after this break. So today, it's not a good slate anyway. It's smaller. It's only 20 pitchers as opposed to the normal 30. And as far as guys you would be able to really consider or start, it would be Colin Ray at the Reds, 17% rostered. He's the quote-unquote stream pick. He's a questionable start for me. I don't really think that Colin Ray is that good. He was able to coast as a Toby for a while. He has a good win chance, and that's why he's here. But there is home run risk as well, and it's possible that the Cubs won't put out their best lineup today. So not my favorite one here. Jonah Tong's going right now, so good luck if you did put him in there. I had him as questionable. You just don't really know what you're going to get with the Vulcan change. Cade Povich is going against his comp, Max Fried, tonight, which is actually really fun. But that means against the Yankees, and I won't do that one. JT Ginn at Boston, it's in Fenway. It's just too risky for that. And I know that some people are in on Tanner Bibee after going a complete game shutout. He's going right now against Skubal. I hope it's going well. I think that was a peak performance, but I can't wait to talk to you guys about that one tomorrow. All right, let's look at tomorrow's game, speaking of which. And my stream pick of the day is Brandon Sproat against the Nationals. I know that they're a lefty lineup, and that might push a few people away, considering he is very sweeper-focused. I still think that Brandon Sproat is overall good enough to make that one work. Max Scherzer should be started. I'm surprised he's only 39% rostered. Max Scherzer has been really, really good across this season, especially when he's been healthy. And yeah, it's really only one bad start, I think, he's had. I would be going for Max Scherzer there. In Kauffman, a good place to pitch. Yes, Dylan Cease, you should be starting him still. I know. I mean, that's what I'm doing. I understand if you don't want to. Sonny Gray looked good last time. He looks like he's fine. So I'm starting him against the Brewers. Will Warren is very contentious, and it's a precarious situation after allowing 600 runs in the first inning against the Red Sox. But then he did collect himself. The stuff is a little bit worse. He doesn't have the same changeup and sweeper he used to, but it is in Baltimore. Decent win chance. I think I'm going to go for it. Same with Luis Severino in Pittsburgh. It's not in Sacre Verde, and it's the Pittsburgh lineup, and it's a good PNC Park. I think that should be fine. The pitch count might be a little limited, but I think that's okay. In questionable start land, you have Logan Allen as the only one underneath 30% roster down here. I mean, Brandon's supposed to clear one 16%. But Logan Allen, I'm just not really that interested in. He's a Toby and 15 teamers. And I guess the Twins aren't a very scary lineup, so fine. But I would avoid it if I could. You might be debating Ryan Nelson against the Phillies. He has a really good fastball. It's also in Arizona, which means that the four-seamer should perform well. It's more of a controlled environment. But he doesn't have a good secondary, and it goes back and forth. Is he going to try the curveball today or try the slider or the cutter? He's trying to force it, and we don't know what we're going to get with that. It is not the strongest Phillies lineup. If you want to go for it, I understand. It could go well. It's a little bit of a toss-up. You have Drew Rasmussen, who hasn't gone six innings for a little bit now, and it's really frustrating. So I don't feel great starting him against Boston and in Tampa Bay, where you don't really know what's going to happen with George Steinbrenner Field. Clayton Kershaw was his best self, and then he was his worst self in the last two games. What are we going to get against the Giants? Well, we thought it would be fine last time against the Giants, and it wasn't. I don't know. And then you have guys like Robbie Ray and Nick Lodolo against really good offenses. I think that Lodolo has been pitching really well, but he's had such a bad schedule, and we haven't really seen the stellar lines that he's deserved based on how he's been pitching. He gets the Cubs. I kind of want to go with it, but it's, again, 50-50. Same with Robbie Ray against the Dodgers. He did have a better fastball last time. It was at 94 and change, actually closer to 95. So if you're worried about the velocity, which I was for a moment with Robbie Ray hinting at like 92 and underneath that, it's good to see this, but it is the Dodgers. And you don't know what you're going to get. Mitch Keller, I might be underrating here, 43% rostered. He's against the Athletics, but then again, the Athletics is not a... I feel like it's a good matchup, but maybe it isn't. It's in PNC Park at the very least. It's up to you. That's really if you're chasing a quality start or not. And then you have in the do not starts, like Davis Martin, he's a 15-team Toby going against the Padres, and that's not a good matchup. Jansen Junk could be a junk baller. He did come back from the IL before, but didn't really look very good. It's in Arlington. That's a really good place to pitch. I will always call it Arlington. I don't care. At Texas. I'm not in for that. Charlie Morton has not really shown up at all, despite getting Miami and the White Sox. And now he gets Atlanta. No, thank you. Taiwan Walker and Walker Buehler are doing a tandem. So it's Taiwan Walker Buehler. So that really means that Walker Buehler is the more interesting one, because I don't think that Taiwan Walker would go all five if they're doing that piggyback. But it's Walker Buehler against the Diamondbacks. I mean, maybe there's a vulture win. I think that Ryan Nelson is going to do better than Taiwan Walker. So probably not. Bryce Elder, he had a good run and then was horrific last time and now gets the Tigers. No, thank you. There's a very small chance that Andrew Alvarez could do well against the Mets. His slider and his curve are the same velocity, but the curve just has more two-plane movement along the same line than the slider. It's very fascinating. I haven't seen that before. And it might be good enough. It's possible. I don't expect it whatsoever. Do not touch Lorenzen. Tyler Mahle gets the Miami Marlins, which looks kind of interesting. But then Tyler Mahle only went 53 pitches, and he might go about 60 or so. Sorry, that was in his rehab start, the last one. This would be a still ill. It could be Jacob Latz following here, and if Tyler Mahle goes about four innings, you might actually have a vulture win here with Jacob Latz. So that is something to consider. If that is confirmed, we don't know. I would probably put him above Logan Allen in questionable start. Jacob Latz, you're probably going to go like three or four innings in that situation, but it could be a win there. And Jacob Blatz is a good pitcher. Going against the Marlins should be effective inside of Arlington. That seems like it's all right. And a small hint at Saturdays, for those who don't have PL Pro, you are going to want to consider someone maybe in the questionable start tier. We don't have a clear-cut stream in the probable start tier. You do want to start Bubba Chandler, right? You do want to start Luis Morales. But there is a very sneaky one that I'm going to have you wait until tomorrow to hear about. However, my streaming pick of the day will not be Joey Wentz. It's 3% rostered at Detroit. I'm kind of interested in it, but there is one other guy that I think is a solid choice, and that would be Chad Patrick against the Cardinals. He's only 4% rostered. It's a very good situation, and I think he's going to go five innings. His cutter's good. This should work out well, but there is another very sneaky one, low rostered, in questionable start. You're going to have to wait until tomorrow for that one. But that is it for today. Thank you all so much for your support. And remember, if you want to get Saturday's rankings, you got to go and get PL Pro. Sign up today for 15% off with promo code PODCAST for PL Pro yearly. But that is it. My name is Nick Pollock. May your BABIP be low and your strikeouts high.